Hi, I'm Guy, and I'm drinking Pint of Guinness.
I'm Alex, and I'm drinking a Bath Ales Lansdowne IPA.
It's almost time at the bar.
And this is the Last Call podcast. This week, like every week, we'll be discussing anything and everything, both pub-related and otherwise, in the signature fashion of people who have just got to the last drink of the night. And to start us off, Guy.
Yes.
What have you been up to this week?
I haven't been doing anything interesting this week, but I have been watching old sort of like reruns of sporting events, so like Formula One Grand Prix from 10 years ago and vintage basketball games, just because I need that sporting fix. Like, I miss it so much.
Well, there's no real clear date on when anything's coming back, but I know the German football leagues are due to get started again, I think, middle of this month. I might have made that up, but they are going ahead soon. And I know a lot of people who will be watching German league football just because it's a live match. It's something new to watch. People do miss
sport. Is that going to be behind closed doors?
It's all behind closed doors, yeah, but it'll be televised. And I guarantee, I know at least 20 people who will all be tuning in for that live, just for the sake.
Yeah, of just live sport. I'm probably on board. I mean, I don't really like football, so I probably won't. But if they did, because they're thinking of doing the couple of Grand Prix behind closed doors. And like, I don't know why they haven't thought of this sooner. Because if you watch Formula One, the fans make absolutely no difference when you're watching it. They probably do when you're there.
That's true.
As a driver.
Yeah.
But as you're watching it, it makes no difference, apart from maybe the podium celebration. It's a bit weird when you're celebrating, no one's there. But did you watch, they had a UFC fight?
My answer to this is already going to be no.
Right. Well, I didn't watch it. I can't remember who exactly the fight was. I know one of them was Tony Ferguson. But they had a UFC whole title. I think it was a title fight behind closed doors. It's really strange watching a UFC fight with no fans.
With no atmosphere.
Yeah. But I just wonder what it feels like to be a sports person with no crowd, because it definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, having people cheering.
But I imagine footballers are probably quite pleased, the amount of fucking abuse they get.
Yeah, true. They finally get a bit of peace and quiet without having people hurling shit at them from the stands.
Yeah. Fat Terry from down the road calling one of the footballers a wanker because he missed a goal even though Terry couldn't run 5 feet.
That is the classic football fan stereotype, isn't it? They're 100% they could do it better if they were out there. I see it all the time in the pub. People screaming at the TVs. What is he doing? And that's how to fit in. For people who don't enjoy sports but happen to be in a sports pub while a sports match is going on, just shout, "What is he doing?" every now and then. What's he doing?
Or, ref. Ref. Or just shout, all ball. Fuck yeah. It's always from the people that get out of breath 10 minutes into their Sunday league game. It is. They watch football on the Saturday. They have a fucking pop at the television going, "Fucking footballers, wow, 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 wow." And then they trip over on their way to the fucking pitch on Sunday. And these football and these guys, they just roll over and take it. That's the fucking worst part. This is what really does my nut in, is these guys are, they abuse the footballers on the pitch. And then end of the game, they want to have a fucking photo with them.
Yeah. Now, hang on a minute. Aren't you that guy who called me a wanker? I definitely heard you call me fucking useless around the 52nd minute mark. So, no, I'm not going to sign your son's fucking cap.
I'd be so...
You can take your dickhead son and your dickhead attitude and go home. Come back next week, maybe a few cheers, and we'll see what we can do about your autograph.
I'd be so petty as a professional sportsman. Like, if I heard anything, I'd make a note. Go, minute 53, heckle from East Stand.
I don't know if you can call a timeout in football. I'm not a football man.
You can't.
Well, I would call the equivalent of a timeout. And I'd get him down. I'd go, "Hang on, everybody. I'm making a substitution. Fucking Brian from Wigan reckons he can do that. He reckons he could have made that shot. So he's going to play the next 10 minutes and show us all how it's done. Come on down, big fella.
Before we lose all football fans who are also listeners, this isn't just football. You hear it in a lot of sports.
You do, that's true.
When you go watch rugby. Admittedly, football's the worst. But
yeah, it probably is by a mile, actually. I make quite a lot of noise at live rugby.
You make a lot of noise at grassroots rugby.
Oh, yeah.
You've been sent off at my under at my under-17s game.
I wasn't even on the pitch.
Or my under-16s game. Yeah,
right. Because
you were heckling the ref.
Yeah, right. So these little shits from Southwold, and if they're listening, you've got nothing to be proud of that day. They had their ref couldn't make it, so they had their coach as the ref. They had the fucking, their guy who's been coaching them to win was now the ref, and he had his blinders on. He was so full of shit, and I made that known to him, and then I got sent off. I got asked politely, or not kind of politely, to please leave and wait in the clubhouse. But I came back out for when they all walk off the pitch, and I said,
"Yeah,
you have nothing to be proud of. What a hollow win."
Yeah, wasn't embarrassing for me on the pitch or anything.
Hey, I just had your back, man. You were getting the runaround. If I was, I think that his standards as a referee were absolutely shocking. We can't trust the referees to at least uphold a decent and respectable level of admiration for the fairness of the game, then the whole thing goes to shit.
I do feel like you can get annoyed at refs because what is, they spend all their day, they know the rules of the game.
Yeah.
That's 80 to 90% of what they need for their job. They need to know the rules of the game. And then not only that, but I mean, a little different in football because I still don't really know what the fuck they're doing with VAR. I mean, why get something that is basically TMO from rugby, but not use it the same, not have one person
they've done
using it?
An upmarket version of TMO.
Is it TMO, upmarket?
TMO wasn't immediately perfect,
but.
And it's still but it does work better. The problem with VAR is that they're so tied up in the technology of it that the officials are not at the game.
But why is the ref running off to have a look at the screen? Why can't there just be one person looking at the screen like there is in rugby and then just messaging down on a mic? They're all mic'd up.
They send out. To, I don't know where it's located, but there is the VAR area that get the request that those people aren't even close to the game. Essentially, what they're doing is ringing someone up, asking them to watch that back and tell them what it is, which is like a really, they've made it a more complicated version of TMO. What I think they should do instead of VAR is they should keep a list of all the pubs in the country, and they should, every time they have to make a judgment call, randomly select a pub, ring that pub, and ask the landlord to read the room. So just ring up and be like, are you showing Man City Everton? Yeah, we are. What do people think? Is that offside? At which point the landlord can then go, okay, I've got VAR on the phone. What do we think? Is that offside or not? And then he can be like, people seem to say offside. And do it like that.
Well, there you go. Problem solved. VAR solved. FIFA? Contact us.
You are FIFA. FIFA, you can have that for free, you dirty thieving bastards. Let me tell you something. If you love football, do not go digging around in FIFA's history. What a bunch of charlatan, corrupt, evil, legally liable for manslaughter, allegedly, douchebags. Oh, I'm going to have to edit that out. I'm going to have to go back.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's staying in.
Did I say allegedly?
You said allegedly.
Okay, fantastic. Not that FIFA listens to this. We have like 100 listeners per episode. I'm sure one of them isn't whoever the FIFA guy is now, Jack Warner.
I don't know. If that is Jack Warner and you know that, I'm thoroughly impressed.
Would you like me to Google it now?
Yes. Go on.
So Jack Warner was vice president of FIFA.
Okay.
It's close. It's Gianni Infantino is the president, an Italian. So, you know, so, everything is above board.
Uncorruptible Italians.
Historically.
Little fact for you there.
Well, what a hilarious opening to the podcast this has been.
Yeah, we've really abused football. Should we abuse some other sports while we're at it? What other sports do you not like?
I think hockey's overrated.
Get fucked. I love hockey.
Not ice hockey, field hockey.
I still like field hockey. I still think it's quite cool. It's lethal.
Ice hockey.
It's lethal.
Ice hockey is.
No, field hockey is dangerous.
Yeah, as much as running around with fucking sticks in a field is dangerous.
And a fucking wooden ball that's being pelted at you. I'd rather go up against the Fijian rugby team than go grassroots hockey league.
Really? Really?
It's so, Alexander, it's so dangerous. People have sticks. So literally, these people have weapons and they're just bouncing a fucking wooden ball all over the place.
Wait, so you were saying you would rather face the Fijian rugby team than play grassroots field hockey?
Yes.
I'll take my chances with the fucking with the stick and the little ball. Have you seen the Fijian rugby team?
Yeah. Have you? Okay.
What were you about to say? Have you seen a stick? Yeah, I've seen a stick.
But have you seen a stick pelt a hoss and great ball at you?
The ball's not even that big. It's like
it's pretty big. It's a tennis ball of wood. It's a tennis ball of wood.
Oh, Alexander. A massive! It's so big. It's tennis ball sized. Tennis ball is so low down the list of large balls.
Nothing tennis ball size should be pelted at you. That's a rule.
Well, they wing a baseball at you in baseball. No one's got a problem with that. That's bigger than a tennis ball.
Yeah, that's scary as well. All bat and ball sports, I'm scared of. No, I just think...
rounders.
Dangerous. Baseball is dangerous. Cricket is dangerous. Hockey is dangerous.
Cricket's those not three that sports, fucking dangerous.
Alexander, people have died.
People have died playing cricket. Yeah, fucking sunstroke or boredom. Let me tell you, right, the best bit of cricket is the last six overs. It's the only bit worth watching. And even then, only if it's close. The rest of it, what a fucking build-up. Lads, let's just do six overs. What's the point?
When you take a cricket ball to the head, people have died.
Well, I believe that's certainly possible.
It's fact.
It sounds very plausible. Well, cricket is a sport that I can't stand it, but at the same time, a good game of cricket at the end, when it's close, is great to watch. Cricket World Cup was exceptional. It was excellent. But otherwise, that game is just the dullest thing on the fucking planet.
Anyway.
Any other sports that are considered ridiculously dangerous? Dance is pretty dangerous.
Dance can't be that dangerous.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Show me the fatality rate for darts compared to cricket.
I will look this up, but only because you've been such an unrelenting dick about it. Okay, I've got the fatality rate of lawn darts here, which is not the same thing.
I don't know what lawn darts is.
You know what lawn dart is? Lawn darts are fucking dangerous. See if I can get you a picture of these things. Lawn darts is a sport for people who don't like their eyes.
How are people getting hurt from that?
Well... So lawn darts, they're like large darts, and you throw them into the lawn instead of a dartboard. I have a summary of 75 patients here from PubMed.gov. Don't know who they are. Lawn dart injuries account for an estimated 675 emergency department visits per year.
Are you joking?
That's
from just throwing darts in the ground.
That's nearly two a day.
Just from lawn darts. What are they doing?
The victims range from 1 to 18 years of age, predominantly male.
From 1 years old. Someone
hit their...
hooned one of these into their 1-year-old.
Somebody's out. Do you want to play some lawn darts? Yeah, let me stick the 1-year-old over in the target zone. Let me put the 12-month-old baby down and I'll jump right on that. The common sites of injury were the head over half the time, the eye 17% of the time, and the face. How do you hit the eye? How do you hit the eye more than you hit the face?
How do you hit the eye when you're supposed to be aiming for the ground?
Sequel A, which is not a word I've heard of, but I think means After Effects. I'll say that again. Sequel A included unilateral blindness and brain damage. Oh, it has a fatality rate. 4% fatality rate.
4%. Four people to... Come on.
What's 4% of 675? That's a lot. That seems like a huge... That can't be right. I've not calculated that correctly. What's that? 4 times 6.75.
It's 27 people. That can't be right.
27
people. That can't be right. 27 people are not dying a year because of fucking lawn darts. That's not right.
I mean, if anything was... That, I told you it was dangerous, man.
No, you said darts was dangerous. This is lawn darts. I'm sorry. I feel like lawn darts needs to be sponsored by Red Bull if people are dying.
So I also have a list here. List of fatalities while playing cricket.
Yeah, there's a list.
Lot of English. Oh, yeah. One of them's in 1751. People were doing all sorts of crazy shit back then.
That counts. Look at that. You've got one in 1942, 59, 89, 1993, 1998.
Jasper Vinnell, who was struck on the head by a bat. And then George Summers, who was struck on the head by a ball. Frederick, Prince of Wales, heir to King George II of Great Britain. His cause of death said he either died of pneumonia or from a burst abscess caused by a cricket ball.
Scroll down. Stop looking at the ones from the 16th century.
Michael Ainsworth, the cause says suddenly.
This
is... I don't understand what they mean by suddenly. Oh, Will Slack collapsed while batting.
Sorry, can we just hold on? Oh, poor Michael Ainsworth. How did he go? Suddenly.
It's fucking quick, let me tell you. We absolutely shouldn't be laughing about, especially recent. That was in the 70s, I think. Especially such recent deaths. There really is no laughing matter. But give me a second, and I'll find some more ones.
Can you agree that there's more deaths in cricket than there is darts?
I don't know about this.
What? Oh, God. What is there not to know? The facts were right there. There was a whole list of people, as morbid as it was.
2012, Richard Bowman, a fast bowler, died from a heart attack after taking 5 wickets. He counts as a cricket fatality. And he just had a heart attack on the pitch. I'm not saying it's not tragic. I'm just saying.
Umpires that were struck on the head. You've got struck by a ball, struck by a ball.
Heart attack while being treated in hospital for an eye injury he sustained on the field. That was Ian Foley in 1993. He got an eye injury, not fatal, and while he was in hospital, he had a heart attack, and now he's on the board.
We don't know.
16, the earliest one being 1751. So in nearly 300 years, 16 people have died of cricket. I reckon you're fine.
Yeah, but the question was, what's more dangerous, darts or cricket?
Well, lawn darts, evidently.
Cricket. Well, lawn darts is in a league of its own. Don't go anywhere near that.
Remember, 27 people died in 1 year.
Yeah.
For lawn darts.
That's incredible. I didn't know lawn darts took so many lives each year, but cricket is very dangerous. And
Yeah, it's a real extreme whole thing sport. Was, you really have to be pretty hardcore to stand around all fucking day. Darts might not be the most dangerous sport in the world.
It's not dangerous.
Well, neither's cricket, as we've learned.
Agreed to disagree.
We'll leave that for now. Moving on, it is time for Tales from Behind the Bar, I think. And we have a jingle. This comes in from Chris. You know Chris, of Derby John and Chris.
Yeah.
Take a listen to his Tales from Behind the Bar jingle.
Terrifying.
It is disturbing, yet intriguing. And I think that sums Tales from Behind the Bar perfectly. Thank you very much for that, Chris.
Thanks. Thank you, Chris.
Amazingly produced. He also whipped it together incredibly quickly. I'm very grateful. If anyone is interested, you can check out Chris's band Marla by going to wearemarla.com. www.bandcamp.com. A little shout out there. I think that's fair. He makes a jingle. We shout out. It's the least we can do.
We can't pay him, so.
I've got some weird and wonderful tales from behind the bar, as always. They're really starting to take an odd turn.
I was really hoping we could have left last week behind. I sort of had to take about 3 or 4 showers after last week.
It was dark, wasn't it? It was very depressing. There were dead bodies. We'll wait and see. We'll see what we've got in store. I've got one here from Ranger Rob.
Yep.
He says, had a bucks party in one night. That's a stag do, bachelor party. Got fairly drunk, and they had arranged the high bars, which were marble, through the middle of the space. So, like, marble high tables, I'm assuming. My first impression was that everything was okay and they just wanted to sit together. But alas, I was wrong. They'd been sneakily pouring small amounts of beer on the marble tables the whole time. And around the time they were due to go, two of them went into the toilets and then sprinted back out, arse naked, and slid the length of the marble tables where they were caught by their mates. He says, all in all, it was fucking hilarious. And as I was walking out to them with a huge smile on my face, to kick them out, obviously, my boss's conservative wife just happened to walk in. He says, still amazed I kept my job that day. As dicking around goes, that's not bad quality.
That's good. That's sort of lighthearted.
The tables. Yeah. Someone's still got to clean it up. No one wants to see your dick flapping around as you fly across the bar, but it's pretty funny. It's fairly harmless. They didn't smash the pub.
That's okay. No. That's nice. That's a good story. That's nice. That's a nice little ease into it.
I think so. It's nice to start with something.
I just now don't want us to fall off the cliff. I want us to just carry on smooth.
I have one here from Lily Lily. They say, we were about to close when we noticed a girl, drunk as hell, sleeping in the pool room. We help her get up, take her to the couch so she can regain consciousness. Suddenly, she gets up, walks over to the couch in front of her, while taking down her pants, sits on the couch, and proceeds to fart and piss all over the couch.
What the fuck did I just say? Keep it smooth. Let's not fall off the cliff. Now we've got a girl defecating on a fucking couch.
The entire bar staff screams no, as you would. No! As we watch it happen, the girl's so drunk she doesn't even notice, falls back asleep, falls off the couch onto the floor with her arse in the air, and is still pissing and farting.
Get out. No. No. I'm not doing another Tales Behind the Bar like this.
Says me and the cook start crying laughing. They got the new guy to clean up. He didn't come into work the next day.
That's horrible. I mean, so firstly, I feel utterly sorry for that girl.
I do and I don't.
I think that's the difference between you and me, because you work in a bar and I don't.
She's
and I just feel sorry for her.
Lying on the floor with her pants around her ankles and her arse in the air, farting and pissing everywhere. There's only so much sympathy I can have.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel so. I mean, the thought of her being a human Trevi Fountain is hilarious.
Gross!
But I do feel a bit sorry for her, because she is just really, really drunk. Have some self... But actually, no. Have some self-control. Come on. We've all been paralytic, but surely there's a little bit of awareness.
I mean, she did manage not to shit herself, which is nice, because all of these, we always seem to get back to some horrendous shit-based story every week.
Oh, well, we're in it now. Go on, then.
All right. This next one comes in from This Reasonable Guy.
This should be good.
We'll be the judge of that. He says, I used to work weddings. It was amazing how often the most rude person there would be the bride. Something about them feeling it's their day makes them think they're entitled to act like a dick to just about everyone.
Well, okay, hold on a fucking minute. It is their day?
It kind of is. Well, don't get me wrong, if they're really being an arsehole about it, then it's slightly different. But at the same time, yeah, the whole point is that a lot of stress went into this day.
Yeah, a lot of people's money. It's kind of the biggest day of their life. Pretty unreasonable.
It depends what she's done.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I was at a wedding when the bride had a drink bought for her, but was chewing gum. Why anyone would chew gum at their wedding is beyond me. That is odd. It is odd for a bride to be chewing gum.
Is it? I'm sorry. At this point in the story, this guy sounds like a dick. He's getting butt hurt because the bride is being stressy towards him. He's like, whoa. Who shot and made you? Who died and made you the bride, huh?
And to cap it all off, she's chewing gum now.
Gum. The fuck is wrong with her? And what?
Her new husband held out his hand and offered to take the gum. That's a gentleman.
That's smart.
She's made a good investment there. Oh, he's trying to look good in front of the in-laws. She snaps back, "I can do it myself, thanks," and then waddles over to the bar and with a characteristic "pwah," spits it in the tip jar.
Okay, fuck this bride.
That's quite bad.
I was 100% on her side until that very moment. Get the fuck out of there.
In the tip jar.
Absolutely not.
In the tip jar. She must have known it was the tip jar as well. She can't have thought it was the gum jar. The groom walked over and apologises. I took one look at the ring on his finger and said, "No, mate, I'm sorry."
Burn
on him, the guy who's just trying to fucking help everybody out. Yeah, no, I would say that is unreasonable to go spitting your gum in someone's.
Yeah, that is unreasonable.
Even if it is your wedding day, you're within your rights to get a bit pissy, but not to start.
You're not above the law.
Not above the law. I have got a Tales from Behind the Bar here that is huge. It is feature length. It comes in from Ring the Bell.
Big fan of that name.
It starts, "Let me tell you the story of Shitty Pants."
Yeah. Go on.
"I used to work at a restaurant near a pretty affluent neighbourhood before the economy went to crap in 2008. We were near the local tennis club, so having these trophy wives in and swooning over their tennis pros was not uncommon. One day, four of the tennis ladies come in for apple teenies, of course. They down the first couple relatively quickly and take their third round and walk away from the bar. I assume they're heading out to smoke, but they weren't. Turns out they went to hang out at the other side of the restaurant, which is closed between lunch and dinner. I found out when I overheard someone talking about two women going at it in one of the booths."
What is going at? That could mean anything, though. That could be an argument.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure. "Of course, everyone made sure to get an eyeful of live girl-on-girl action."
It's not an argument.
I don't think it is. No, I think this is what we think it is. But that was quickly interrupted by the fact that the blonde was not feeling well. They stepped outside, and I figured they would come inside, pay their tab, and that would be the end of that. They came back inside, three girls, carrying one, right into the bathroom. As soon as I saw it happen, I knew I would have to clean it up. And sure enough, when they left the bathroom, I was attending to other bar guests, and one of the servers coming on for the dinner shift was the first to see it. Oh, no.
How does it work in a bar? Is it the first person to see it cleans it up?
Not especially. I think
draw straws?
Give
it to the person you hate?
It's at the discretion of the manager. I think you've got to try and be fair with it. You can't have Charlie do all the shit wiping.
Wait, what?
What?
I was talking about vomit. Is this a shit story?
allow me to go on. One of the servers coming in from the dinner shift was the first to see it. Shit everywhere. Literal feces on the floor, on the walls. It was terrible. I will be in that server's debt forever because she wasn't scared to clean it. She just said, "I'll handle it," and did. I figured it was over.
Christ.
I was wrong. The manager who came on for the night shift was taking a walk around the restaurant when he saw it. Shit again. Shit on the floor in the game room of the restaurant.
Hold on a minute. You're telling me that the second pile of shit wasn't noticed until nighttime? How are you not noticing shit? It stinks.
Famously, he says, "We rewound the cameras to see how this could have happened. It seems that while she was being carried in, she couldn't hold her poop, and it just started coming out, and she kind of shook her leg a little to get it out of her underwear. We named her Shitty Pants and told the story to every new server."
I blame the carriers for that.
I don't know. If I was carrying one of my mates and he started shitting himself.
If I was struggling to hold in shit, I wouldn't get carried.
Yeah, true. I'd be like, do not pick me up. I am dead. I'm deadly serious.
Do not touch me.
The fuck are you doing? No, don't. I'm about to shit myself. Don't pick me up. That's the last thing I need. Don't engage my core in any way.
No wonder she can hold it in when she's getting fucking fucked around like that. Guys, I think I'm going to shit myself. Oh, we'll carry you.
Let me Heimlich you. Let me pick you up.
Yeah. I'll give you a piggyback. What are they thinking?
You have to take a moment. You have to take a moment. And as a man who has not shit himself for decades, at least a decade and a half, if you don't take a moment as soon as you realize what's going on, if you don't take that 10 seconds just to assess the situation, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Whether it's the assessment of, do I need to go to the toilet, or can I clench my butt cheeks together and deal with this later? Do you know what fucks me up about this story? These two girls were having sex. Next minute, she was shitting all over the pub.
Is there a link there?
I don't know.
Depends what they're up to. To be fair,
I don't. I think I just don't.
Just had the peppermill up her ass or something like that.
That's not what I was going to say. I just don't. I feel like the story of her crapping everywhere is good enough on its own.
No, that's true. For the length of the story, don't get me wrong. We love a good tale, but that was quite a tale for a girl shitting herself everywhere. There was a lot of background. I feel like I knew the area very well. There was something about the market crash in 2008 at the start.
That set the scene. Jeez, Louise. Well, look, we can't, you know, we're not... It's unfortunate that this happens to people, that they end up, you know, pissing and shitting over pubs. And
it's not clear that was necessarily alcohol-related. I believe they're on their third round of Apple Teenies. And it did mention she wasn't feeling well. So that could have genuinely been just an unfortunate bowel-related
I think
incident.
It was. I think it was. The food. Where was the chef in all
that's
of this?
That's true. What, was
what
he
did
up
she
to?
Have to eat?
What's happened? What's happened to us?
This is what we've become.
I have another one here. It's from Massey Ice 360.
Now that's a dude that plays lawn darts.
I reckon that's a guy who just put his Xbox 360 gamer tag. Matty Ice 360. Sorry, Matty, I shouldn't take the piss. He says, I used to work at a small pub on the bottom floor of a fairly large concert venue. We all clear on that?
Bottom floor, concert venue.
Small pub, okay, we're good. During our Halloween party, I had to jump the bar and break up a fight between two guys dressed in the same Mario costume. Oh, fantastic.
It's me, Mario. No.
It's a me.
It's me, Mario.
It's a me. He goes on. Apparently, Mario A asked Mario B's girlfriend, who was dressed as Princess Peach, which follows, if she wanted to get with the real Super Mario. He then showed her his erection.
Oh, come on!
And said, how about that mushroom?
Oh, the story was fine.
It was set up to be a real caper. Two Marios, it was be real fun. And what did we get? We got Weinsteined again.
We got Mario with the boner. Mario with his little Yoshi hanging out.
He says, the expression on the... Excuse me, I had a small peanut caught in my throat.
Oh.
He says the expression on the police officer's face was priceless.
The police got involved.
The guy got his dick out. That's police territory.
Why does he have an erection? Surely the fight gave him an erection. We're not going to address that. Oh, God.
I got a nice short one here.
So did Mario.
Oh. This came in through the website. Somebody actually used the form on our website. If you go to thelastcallpodcast.co.uk/get-involved, you can use that form as well. Not that it makes a difference. It comes in from Custard. We know a Custard. Mm-hmm. It says, I grew up at a pub and saw quite a lot of inappropriate things. The most inappropriate for me personally, especially looking back, would be when the regulars, side note, this pub was an old man's drinking pub full of your quintessential dirty old men. Anywho, aforementioned dirty old men aged 45 plus had a countdown to my 16th birthday. That's grim.
I don't get that.
16 is the age of consent in the UK.
Oh, he was counting down to that. I thought it was like a 5, 4, 3.
That would have been lovely.
2, 1.
That would have been perfectly harmless. Oh, it's midnight in 10 seconds. 9, 8. That would have been lovely. No, I think this is a day by day, 22 days until she's legal type thing. With a 15-year-old. Oh, boy. We've set the tone again.
There's not a lot we can say on that, apart from the fact that's fucked up. We do not like that. It's a no-no.
It is. It's a big no-no. Any dirty old men listening, knock that shit off. It's weird. You're creeping everybody out. Not that we don't appreciate everyone sending in their tales from behind the bar, but if anyone has any light tales, please, as a matter of urgency, we need some. It's all piss, shit, vomit, and sexual assault.
If these tales from behind the bar were a drink, what drink would they be?
Probably Pernod or something like that. Something grim and weird and obscure that nobody ever orders or wants and leaves a funny taste in your mouth.
There you go.
Moving on. Let's see if we can find something to bring us back from the land of shit everywhere, Nintendo erections and sexual harassment. This one comes from KHWD.
KHWD.
KHWD. It says, I worked on a hotel bar most weekends, usually covering weddings, another wedding one, in the huge ballroom.
I bet you see some shit in a hotel bar. I reckon you see some dodgy stuff.
I've going never down had in hotel the bars. Joy of working in a hotel bar, but I imagine you see all sorts of shady stuff. Especially when there's a wedding on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, KHWD goes on. A story that sticks in my mind is the groom getting plastered drunk until we have to cut him off. He comes up to order a drink, slurs out an order for 2 beers. I tell him he can't have any more. He says, fuck this, I don't need this shit, and bails out of the ballroom. He was caught fucking one of the waiters up the ass in the disabled restroom 15 minutes later.
The groom?
That's correct.
No!
It says, the kicker, the waiter, was a very, very gay man.
Look, I'm not going to touch that. In the modern world now, you don't know who's into what or what arrangements family have, like couples have. I mean, probably don't do it on your wedding day.
That's what I was going to say, is don't, no matter how, whatever you're struggling with, the time to get it all out in the open is not having just committed to a woman for life. I think you should.
Well, hold on. Are we being ignorant here? Was a bride mentioned, or was it another groom?
Do you know what? It could have been another groom, and we've been very ignorant. Either way, someone's still getting cheated on.
Yeah, which isn't nice. So don't do that.
Okay, I've got one here from Sam Six.
Sam Six.
He says, my favourite bartending story involves a lobster and 2 soldiers.
I'm in.
Amazing.
I'm in.
What an opening sentence. Surely, this will save us from our downward spiral. I was working one slow Monday and 2 gentlemen in their uniforms walk in with a bag and sit down. They already seem kind of tipsy, and the one with the bag proceeds to pull out a stick of garlic butter and put it on the bar.
So far, nothing wrong.
Next, the other soldier pulls out a live lobster and sticks it next to the butter. One says, we have to get it acquainted with its fate. I'm working alone, so I quickly grab a newspaper and stick it under the lobster so it doesn't drip all over the bar. They decide it's probably time to go when the other customers start making a fuss. I would make a fuss. I worked in a kitchen where they use live lobsters, and they're not a pain in the ass, but they're not also, you don't want to sit down the bar from one and enjoy a pint. I'm assuming it had its things all snappered up and it was fairly chill, but you still don't want a live lobster knocking around.
No, they're kind of weird. They move in a weird sort of way, like all crustaceans. They're sort of that, sort of not, kind of robotronic. They really scare the fucking shit out of me.
Anyway, they decide it's time to go, put it back in the bag, and the one carrying the bag proceeds to slip and crash down on the bag. There was an awful crunch thud sound.
That's bad, because you're supposed to cook them alive.
You are. You are. Really, I believe it really spoils the meat if they die beforehand.
For real? Or is that
I think so, yeah. I might have made that up. I know who I need to ask, though. Shout out to Wesley. The lobster was fine, but last I heard, they went to the bar next door and the lobster escaped under the fridge. I hope he's doing okay.
That was pretty anticlimactic.
Fuck!
How much of that did you spill?
Oh, not a small amount. Ah, oh, bollocks. Fuck. It's all over the podcast sofa. Now, I obviously opened that bottle of Lansdowne with more force than I realised. It just exploded in my face. Ah, oh, god damn it. All right. That could have been worse.
But yeah, that was really anticlimactic. We thought the lobster would have been dead or injured in some way, but actually it just ran under a fridge.
Yeah. Look, that was a nice lighthearted story about two blokes and a lobster. Yeah. Let's not
Good point, knock good it. Point. Yeah, I shouldn't be annoyed.
Well, that concludes Tales from Behind the Bar, but Joey last week got in touch with a pizza recommendation that we didn't ask for, but was well received. We said at the end of Tales from Behind the Bar if you did have any pizza recommendations to send them in, and I thought we were clearly joking. Apparently not, because I have some pizza recommendations here. Quite a few, actually. I'd like to just run by you and see what you think.
You've come to the right man.
I knew I had. I've got one here. It says, when I worked at a pizza place, a guy brought in a carton of blueberries, ordered a cheese pizza, put the blueberries on top of it, and ate it. When he was done, there was a single blueberry left on the plate.
Get out. You're never allowed to eat pizza again. What are you up to?
Blueberry and cheese is not doing it for you as a pizza.
What else do you have? Coke and pork? Get the fuck out of here.
I once did belly pork that we marinated in rum and Coke and then barbecued.
That's different.
Is it? You said Coke and pork.
I don't think blueberries belong on a pizza.
They said about pineapple.
Pineapple fucking sucks for many reasons. One, it doesn't belong on a pizza. Two, it's spiky. I don't know what people's obsession with spiky fruits are. The reason they're spiky is because they want to be left alone. And they especially
what
don't want to be put on pizza.
What spiky fruits are people obsessed with? I don't know anyone who's like obsessed with lychee.
People are, or it wouldn't be in commonplace in our society, would it? Ever heard of durian? Durian?
I have. You just googled spiky fruits, didn't you? You couldn't even say
no.
It. You couldn't even read it correctly. You absolutely just googled spiky fruits.
How do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Jackfruit, very spiky, a small kind of spikes.
You do see a lot of it. It's a replacement for pulled pork, pulled jackfruit, apparently, is a vegan alternative. But at the same time, if you're vegan and you are craving pulled pork, then, you know, nobody blame but yourself for that one. You made your choice.
Anyway, I stand by my point. Spiky fruits want to be left alone, hence why they're spiky.
Okay, I've got another one here. It says, I really like pierogi pizza.
Ooh, me too.
Moving on.
No, what is that? I don't
you want me to know
it?
No, they do say it. They, they say pizza with a layer of sautéed potatoes, then a layer of sour cream, topped with cheddar cheese, bacon bits, and green onion.
That does sound delicious.
It does sound quite good.
That sounds really good.
I want to know some of the ins and outs of putting it together. Are you baking the sour cream?
I imagine what you do is you make the base out of dough, then maybe put the potatoes on top of that, then put that in the oven, and then maybe take it out. No, you could do the whole thing.
I think you
could
do the whole thing, and then it'd be okay.
Yeah.
That does sound great. That does sound good. It's odd, but that does sound delicious. Another one. I've been to a fish and chip shop which sells chocolate pizza.
And I think I know what he's talking about. That's a bit of dessert. It's like cookie pizza, which is the big cookie.
He says, pizza base with a layer of Rolos, covered in mozzarella, and topped with crushed flake.
No! Why are you wasting good mozzarella?
Yeah, that's not... mozzarella is not your friend in that situation. Mascarpone is a guy you need to talk to.
Yeah, oh my god, yes. What are you doing? That's a dessert. That's a dessert. So make it a dessert. Don't do a dessert and then go, oh, I'll throw something that's roughly related to pizza in there.
I've got one here and it just says ham and sauerkraut.
No, fuck that shit. I hate sauerkraut.
Oh, I love sauerkraut. I love sauerkraut, but even I wouldn't go slapping that on a pizza.
I hate it. I mean, it's the worst food.
You don't like vinegar, though, do you?
I don't mind vinegar. I just really don't like sauerkraut.
But you don't like anything pickle.
I like pickles. I really like pickles. I really like gherkins.
You said that like you're trying to convince someone that you don't want to marry pickles. But I really like pickles. I do. I really like pickles.
I do. I just don't. Pickled eggs sound disgusting. Sauerkraut is horrible. I'd like to give a shout out to...
Who are you? Oh, this is not going to be good.
I'd like to give a shout out to the Bavarian village in Winter Wonderland, to that fucking guy that does bratwurst and sauerkraut.
Bratwurst and sauerkraut.
It was terrible. I want my fucking money back.
It's not really a shout out. You haven't had the right sauerkraut. I got sauerkraut at the moment. I like to change up my sauerkrauts every now and then. I got sauerkraut going at the moment that's raw garlic, cabbage, and gherkin sauerkraut.
Wait, what? You like to change up your sauerkraut.
One thing I've
learned. What do you have that with?
Anything.
What is sauerkraut?
It's pickled. It's pickled cabbage.
Is it a condiment? I hate
it's
it.
It's pickled
so
cabbage.
And there's nothing good. There's not like the name alone tells you that it's horrible.
What, sauerkraut?
It's called sauerkraut. You might want to go back to the drawing board, Germany, and call your disgusting, vinegary, pickled wank sack something else.
Here's the thing, though. I love sauerkraut. I would not order sauerkraut on a pizza.
No, me neither.
I've got another one here. It says, chili jam on a pizza. Put it on top before you put the pizza in the oven. Melts into the cheese. Makes the whole thing explode in your mouth. They put that in quotes. I don't know why they felt the need to put explode in your mouth in quotes.
I mean, that description, horrible, but chili jam, delicious.
Chili jam, yeah, I can get behind
in
that.
A pizza and then, with cheese. Takes the edge off a little bit. I love that.
And then finally, refried beans and salsa, Mexican pizza.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? That's something someone isn't doing. A burrito style kind of pizza. So like a pizza base, passata, then, you know, jack cheese, refried beans, that sort of mild salsa you get, guacamole. I'd have that on pizza. All day with a garlic cheese crust.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
But yeah, like a burrito style Mexican pizza. That's something I could definitely get on board with, I think.
Well, since we've started it now, if people do have obscure pizza recommendations, you might as well send them over to lastcallinbox@gmail.com.
Definitely.
Because why not? We talk about enough crap as it is. I'm sure we can fit a little more in. Well, unfortunately, that is time at the bar.
Time for us to finish our drinks and head home.
If you'd like to keep up to date with what we're doing, go to thelastcallpodcast.co.uk.
Please don't forget to take your glasses back to the bar, and we will see you next week.